Tiny City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Time it never lasts when the pain is too deep, so bad that you can't sleep. You're fussing, fighting, can't take back what's already been done. Ain't no more to say.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show number 143. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hey. So I got to tell you,
there's
some changes being made with parking in the city.
The parking meters. What is zone 6, zone 3?
This is
zone,
where we're going.
The zone.
This is where we're going.
How do we get in the zone?
Again, I'm going to default back to my blogging brethren on chicagoist.com. The zones actually represent a specific pricing scale. So it can be 10 minutes a quarter. It can be half an hour a quarter. It can be an hour a quarter. Generally, all parking meters tend to be 2 hours max in the city.
Okay.
So zones, the different zone numbers don't mean a geographic thing. They mean how much it costs at the particular place.
But in front of your house, you're zone 6, correct?
Correct.
And that, but I only get 30 minutes per quarter, here.
Correct.
But up in Andersonville, it's zone 6 and I get $1.
Don't think so. I think they've probably fixed that by now.
Oh.
Because the stickers went up before they actually reprogrammed the meters.
What is the dealio?
But here we go. Here's
a minute, a penny.
Here's
a penny a minute.
Well, in some places it's 5 minutes a quarter.
Well, that's downtown, and those are insane people.
But here we go. Here is the new idea behind a lot of this.
Okay.
So you know how people have those little transponders, those little boxes for iPass in their car, right?
Yeah.
And you zoom on through, and it says, "Oh, look, that's Amy's car. We're gonna deduct from her account." Mm-hmm. Well, there are new transponders. There are parking transponders coming. The city is working on a pilot program. I believe it was developed somewhere on the East Coast. They're going to have these little transponders that you stick in your windshield, and it has a little LCD display on it. Basically,
so Orwellian.
I know. This particular transponder is linked to your account. So what you do is when you park at Zone 6, you pick up your cell phone, you call a special number. You call a special number and punch in your username or whatever. You say you're parked at Zone 6 and you say how long you want to be there. In a few seconds, it pops up on the little display that Amy Matheny has 45 minutes left, has 30 minutes left, has 20 minutes left, has 10 minutes left. It doesn't say Amy Matheny. It says this is good for a certain amount of time and then it's good for that zone.
Wow.
So the coolest thing about that is you don't have to go feed the meter, number one, by hand. And number two, if you want to renew it, you just call the phone number again.
Wow. So that's bad because people are going to hog spots all day long.
But they're going to be paying through the nose for them in high area places, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to have to do it. And they're going to get ticketed if they don't do it. But for instance, you know, you just had to run downstairs and feed the meter. You wouldn't have to. You could just picked up the phone and called your car. And then,
wow, can you call and find out how much time you have left?
Absolutely. And you can do it. It's a cost-based thing. It's not a time-based thing because different zones cost different prices.
Right.
So it's you say, I want to be in zone 6 for 2 hours. I want to be in zone 6 for 1 hour. I want to be in zone 6 for 40 minutes. And then it'll deduct that amount of money as it's appropriate. So it's a pretty new fancy system that's come into town. And I think it's going to be really good for a lot of people.
Is it anywhere else?
Yeah, it's somewhere on the East Coast. I don't know who did it first. Maryland might be doing it or somewhere else. I could have that name all wrong. But it's coming soon. The pilot program, they're selling 1,000 of these transponders. I suspect it's going to take off like hotcakes and be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And so it'll be very commonplace for people to do that. But it frees you from having to return to your car to feed the meter, which is, I think, the most ideal situation. So, yeah, it's coming.
Such a gay news
story.
So
that is why, I know, right? But that is why you have those little zone stickers there.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, it's good tech.
This is why I come, Peter, to hear from you about what's going on in the world.
So another terrifying thing, I was out the other night with Johnny Dangerous. We hung out, and I love hanging out with Johnny, and I was out with his boyfriend, Serge. And we went out, and we were talking about pillows and buying a new bed, because I'm in the market for a new bed. You know?
I thought you just got a new bed.
No, I'm still in the market for a new bed. Okay. I haven't purchased a new bed yet, and I just had to stay at the Westin, as we talked about. I was on a business trip. So I really think I'm going to go ahead and get one of their beds. I loved the Heavenly Bed. That's what they call it. I think it's a Serta or a Sealy or something, but it's manufactured specifically for the Westin. You can buy it. It's like westinbed.com or something like that. Anyway. This terrifying statistic has now crept up twice in the last month, and I've heard it, and I'm going to share it with you, Amy, and I'm going to share it with all of our listeners, that after a year...
A year?
After a year, in most climates, 50% of the weight of your pillow is feces from the critters that live in your pillow.
Oh, my God.
Is that not disgusting?
Do I need new pillows?
You do. You need to go buy new pillows. In fact, you should change your pillows. Pick a season and then pick a season and then go every other season and change your pillows. You should be changing your pillows every 6 months.
Really?
Yes. Because the little critters that live, you know, the little dust mites?
Yes.
Their poops are what causes a lot of allergens and things like that. So people like, oh, it's when I lay down, I get all stuffy and everything. No, it's when you get near that pillow. Your head is lying in a pile of shit.
Wow.
So yeah, isn't that, I mean, half the weight of the pillow after a year.
I have good pillows.
I know. And it's even worse in down. It's even worse.
Oh, I'm allergic to down, so I can't use down.
Well, you probably...
I can't use any down. I can't have feathers anywhere near me.
Right, and it's the interesting thing is it may not be that you're allergic to down. You may be allergic to the things that live on the feathers.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I can't be around them for...
Disgusting. Yeah.
You know what the horrible thing is living in Chicago is that I can't wear down. Right. And I wanted to buy a down coat, and I go into the north...
Triple fat goose down. You can't wear
one of
those.
I'm like, oh my God. It's just... Oh, it's so awful. I sound a little bit like it right now because I'm having allergies so bad, but it's not from feathers, but I would go down to the North Face and I would be like, don't you have anything that doesn't have down? Mm. Like your coats are so cute. Mm-hmm. And I can't.
They have all these like shiny chubbies and all kinds of, yeah.
Yeah. I want them to like find a cute little quilted jacket that's filled with thermofill.
Well,
and you can't find them very often. You can randomly, but.
Land's End actually had some good ones coming up in L.L. Bean in the catalog. They had some synths. So look for their synthetic stuff. But yes. So this brings me to yet another point.
God, the feces in the pillow. I have to go to the company store. That's where I buy all my linen stuff. The company store. So I have to go on their website. Yeah, very good. And I have to buy the allergy-free, you know, polyfill, thermofill stuff right now.
Well, linens and things actually have some really decent polyfills. And you figure if you like
$30 and $40. You have to buy that every year?
That's the suggestion.
Oh my
or
God.
You take it somewhere to try and get it sanitized, but there's no guarantee because if it doesn't dry fast enough, it makes the pillow even worse and the critters go crazy. So not to gross you all out there, but it really is, something
I'm
to think about.
I'm having a conversation tonight with Kelly.
The next thing is, this is the time when we're changing our wardrobes.
Yes,
so your
I was
clothes,
doing that some today.
Your clothes have been in storage, which is why I'm guessing you're all allergy.
Maybe.
Because... your clothes have the critters living on them as well.
Well, we have the critters living on us as well.
So it's a good idea to wash, but we wash ourselves pretty frequently.
And they multiply with water.
They do. So,
so
it's a good idea actually though to wash your clothes in as hot a water as the fabric can tolerate. A lot of things say wash in cold water. You don't need to wash them in cold water. You do actually want to wash them in warm or hot water if they can take it, because it will help kill these critters. But a lot of people put away their sweaters for the winter and then they just take them out and put them on. And that's not okay. You really should take them out and wash them.
Well, I dry clean them before I put them away, and then I store them, and then I pull them out.
But
that's
still,
what I do.
I mean, unless you're stored in like one of them vacuum bags, but even they have air in them. So the point being that when clothes or things that we keep close to our bodies in our houses, when they just sit forever and a day, they collect these critters that, you know, can trigger some of the allergic reactions. Isn't this a lovely conversation?
Think about how many are living in your mattress, even the one that you were sleeping on in the Westin that other people have been sleeping on.
Yeah, absolutely. Other people's critters. And, you know, when your mattress is over 10 years old, you got 10 years of those critters living in there.
I got 10 years of critters then in my guest bedroom bed, and it sleeps so good.
See?
Them critters. They make it massage you all over.
They makes it comfy for you.
They makes it comfy for you.
They do.
Hey, have you been starting to watch all the big fall TV?
I have. So I'm not going to start with my favorite. I'm going to start with Back to You with Patricia Ooh, Heaton
I
and
love
Kelsey
it very
Grammer.
Much.
I was so into it. She, number one, she looks fantastic.
I was telling Kelly last night, she's kind of foxy.
She really,
I never watched
really
her on Raymond. I didn't watch Raymond.
I watched Raymond because my mother is Doris Roberts. Mother is Doris Roberts. My mother has lost, I don't know if I've told anybody this, my mother has lost about 120 pounds now.
Wow.
So she doesn't look like Doris Roberts anymore. But you can't find a speck of dust underneath the couch. Everything is pristine clean. She's just a clean freak. And you know, there's always that, oh, that's nice, you know, because you made it. Not, right. You know, there's a mom knows best. So anyway, love her for it. But I was a dedicated fan. I've seen Everybody Loves Raymond from the very beginning, from the get-go.
Yeah, I really haven't. I don't think I've seen much of any of them. But I'm a big Kelsey Grammer fan, though. I have seen every episode of Frasier. And I like this show a lot. It really harkens back to me, to Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, yeah.
I really love having. Well, and I love having. God, I just had a huge brain freeze. The guy from, good Lord, Best in Show. And
yeah, Willard, not Willard.
Fred Willard.
Yeah.
I love him so much.
I remember a TV you actor's remember, name.
Yeah,
oh my God.
You did.
He's orange, though, and so is his hair. I don't like that. He should have.
I love him, though. And, you know, it's Jim Burrows, director. You know, it's being written by Christopher Lloyd. It's just it's a slam dunk. It's really great to have a good sitcom on again because we have not had a good new sitcom in years.
I literally was laughing from the very beginning.
Yeah, the first two episodes are really good. If you're not watching Back to You, I highly recommend that as well. What else have you watched?
Okay, I guess I have to get to my favorite. Well, I have Weeds has picked back up. We talked about this a little earlier. Weeds is now that Q-Tip is dead. Or Q-Ball or whatever the hell his name is.
I don't know.
Now that he's gone, the show for some reason just magically got better. I don't know.
Were you a fan of Mary-Kate being on this past week?
Okay, can I just say...
The pot-smoking, Jesus-loving
humping
virgin.
And grinding.
And humping
and
virgin.
It was kind of hot. But
I think
that
boy is so beautiful. If I was a gay man, I think he is so pretty.
Can I tell you I want his hair?
He is so pretty.
I don't know
if pretty?
I can have Silas hair, but I think I want his hair. It's his nose. I like his nose. He has a very good nose. But yeah, seeing
he is so pretty.
Mary-Kate like humping him and smoking pot. I was like, she must be. She does it too well. She must be a pothead. She does it too well. How old are they now, the Olsen twins?
21.
Are
22?
Are they legal?
Yeah.
Really?
I think they're legal.
Wow.
God, I hope they are.
Were they in Maxim? Didn't they do a Maxim spread? Or maybe they haven't done that yet.
No, I don't know.
Who was the one, Jennifer? Was her name Jennifer something that got in trouble on Seventh Heaven who did the Maxim spread? Remember? She's fucking gorgeous.
I don't know.
Did you ever watch Seventh Heaven?
No. Jessica Biel?
Yeah. Is that her name?
Yeah, Jessica Biel's.
She got busted because she did a Maxim spread and she's like, I'm sorry. I was like, you were sorry all the way to the bank when you cashed that check.
Hey,
you
know what's interesting? I actually have interesting news about her and I'm not even a fan of her. Now she's come up twice.
Hit me.
She is being considered to play Wonder Woman in the new Justice League film.
Really?
And, you know, so she maybe, who knows?
You know who should play her?
Is it Jessica Biel? I guess it is.
No, is it?
No, I know she's doing Wonder Woman. I just don't know if she's the one that was on Seventh Heaven, but I think so.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. She's kind of a little pouty lipped.
Yeah.
But she's a fairly tall woman. She's not a short.
Yeah.
Short woman. Yeah.
She's in the big movie that she's in something about. There's a movie about Chuck or something right now. And then she's also in that big superhero movie. God, that's like The Incredibles, the Pixar Incredibles, but real people.
Oh, I didn't know they were making that.
No, they've already made it. We're on the number two. I can't remember. They're on the second one. Oh, I've seen it. I just can't remember. The allergies have clogged my sinus cavities and my brain, Peter.
Right. Well, big TV news too. Project Runway, November 14th, I believe, is the date that it's going to start.
Oh, wow.
So they finally just came up with the date. So Project Runway, get ready. November, I'll talk about it more as we get closer. We actually have a Chicago boy in the running this year.
Ah.
He is a native Chicago. And there was a gal also, his name is Steve, I think. There was a gal who went to UFC, but she just doesn't count. That doesn't make you a Chicagoan because she went to school here. I'm sorry, folks. It takes like 7 years. Anyway, he's a real Chicago boy. So
now I watched the first episode of Bionic Woman.
Yes. And?
Well, the villain, the first Bionic Woman, Katie Sackhoff, who is on Battlestar Galactica, is hot, hot, hot on this show.
Yeah.
The new British girl who plays the Bionic Woman in this one who plays Jamie Summers. That's still yet to be written. I mean, she's pretty. I just don't know yet, but it's got an interesting cast, an interesting look, and we will see where that show goes. It could be a lot of fun if they start allowing themselves to have fun. I think it will be really fun.
Is it Mission Impossible-y MacGyver-y where...
Only had episode one, so we just had to have her become the Bionic Woman. So all she knows is that now she's the Bionic Woman and there wasn't the accident. It's just like the old Lindsay Wagner.
Oh, okay. So she's not sent on mission.
Not yet.
Okay.
We know that this is a governmental thing and that she's going to save the world potentially from the promos that we saw for next week. But right now she's just dealing with the fact that she's got like bionic legs and the bionic eye.
Wait a minute. You watch those? You watch those little things at the end? What's coming up next week on the Bionic Woman? You watch those?
I do.
I never do. I can't. I can't because then I'm crazy for the rest of the day. That part, when the credits roll, I have to turn off the show. I can't even... Now, my big show is America's Next Top Model. Of course it kicked off. Of course it's fabulous. And we have a Chicago girl. Her name is Ebony. She's full of piss and vinegar from the West Side. Love her. Sharp tongue. But I cannot watch that at the end of a show. Like next week on Heroes. Fuck that. I can't watch it.
Speaking of which, did you watch Heroes?
No.
Oh.
I've missed so
much. You know what?
I
have to say, Heroes is very interesting where they're starting this year. And there's going to be carnage very soon. We've already had a little in the first episode. So I don't want to say too much since you haven't seen it. So you'll have to watch it and then we'll talk about it.
Is that little Peter boy with his shirt off with the black hair?
The little your heartthrob, the guy you love, he has a full beard right now. And
With the black hair.
Milo?
The one who was,
The brother to the, what's the guy
the
that you love
on,
so much? Adrian Pastar.
Adrian Pastar, yeah.
Yeah. He has full beard. He's freaking out because he thinks his brother's dead, you know, from the end of last year. And so.
See, I didn't even know that. I totally tuned
out. What is wrong with you? You turned me on to this show and now I'm addicted. And he was like in full beard and out drunk off his ass and.
Flying around.
He wasn't flying. He was very upset. We've got another cute boy who can fly, though, so we don't know who he is. These new characters being introduced, you know. So it's definitely starting off with a bang. That definitely is. And what I have not watched yet, and it's in my queue, is Dirty Sexy Money. So next week we will talk about it because I will probably have watched one or two episodes.
I have to show you because we were on the train. We were on the metro line going... when I was just on my New York trip and I stopped this and I have to email this to Candace
Kane.
It was just hysterical that I took a picture of it in the metro. Just, I don't know why I took a picture of the ad for Dirty Sexy Money in the train and was like, is that her?
No, it's not her.
I mean, with the hand, because you can't see anything.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I wanted to send it to
the Darling family. So I think it's only the members of the Darling family. But she is definitely on the promos and the trailers.
Yeah, it made me think that maybe because someone thinks they're having an affair, maybe that's her going like that. So I wanted to ask her if she knew what this poster meant.
I don't know.
So yeah, I still have not watched it. Unfortunately, it's been panned.
No, it has not. It got fantastic reviews by The Trib. It got fantastic reviews by
people. I only saw bad ones.
And a fantastic review in Entertainment Weekly.
I don't read EW, so you would know that, not me. But I thought I saw a bad one. So,
supposed to be the hot new show of the year.
I hope so. I'm still going to watch it just because I need to support my people. But, you know, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. I hope it's good.
Yep. And heading into the weekend, folks, don't forget Desperate Housewives and Grey's Anatomy and all those shows. Yeah, but you got the Gay Neighbors this year.
But it's not Bex and Robbie Williams.
No, it's not.
So I'm sad about that.
But one of them could be your boyfriend next door.
Mayhaps. Is the Mad Men done?
No, the Mad Men is good.
So it's not. Something's wrong.
I don't think they had an episode last week.
Oh, okay, good.
I hope because mine didn't tape one.
Yeah, mine didn't either. That's what
I'm taping one. I'm taping
wrong.
One this. I taped one last night, so I'm good.
Yeah, I definitely need to check into that. So I have some really good news.
Yes,
I have calluses on my fingers.
You do.
I do.
From your guitar lessons?
Well, yeah, but you know what I've been doing? So I'm holding like an old school iPod shuffle and it has these sharp edges.
Look at you.
All day I've been like
pressing it on there.
So like callus
the calluses.
Maker.
Did you take your guitar with you to Connecticut?
I did.
How was that?
It was fabulous. Every night I could have a glass of wine and play some guitar, strumma, and it was good. And I got my good practice in. So we're up to like 6 chords, 5 chords now. So it's good.
Look at you.
It's good. Someone randomly, one of the teachers, we were doing the second half, and one of the teachers randomly screamed out, or one of the teachers said, are there any requests? And this guy was like, Free Bird. And he's like, okay, I'll teach you the 6 chords.
Yeah.
And the whole fucking room was playing Freebird. It was hysterical. I don't know how to play an F chord because you have to do some fucked up stuff with your hands. Yep. Whatever. But
you don't have to. I could show you how to play a fake F.
Well, yeah, he taught, because you have to go from like E flat to what people listening don't give a shit about what I'm talking about. But anyway,
I do.
It was just funny.
And it's our show.
Yeah, it's our show. Damn it. So listen. So he just screamed Freebird, and then this guy starts playing it, and the guy's like, dude, I was joking, but now I know the song. Thanks. He's totally insane. He's like, dude, that's, I can play Freebird now, dude. Thanks.
He could play Mary Kate's Part 2 on Weeds.
Yeah, I hope she...
Smoke the ganji.
I hope he sticks it in her. He should have sex with her, I think.
Oh, no.
Yes, he should.
Really?
Okay, and how about Nancy's brother naked? Okay, I've seen enough of him, basically,
Justin
with
Kirk.
No clothes on. I mean, I'm glad he embraces his body, and that's just a lovely, delicious thing. I hope that everyone can embrace their body, but babe, put it away. I've seen his weenus too much.
It's very funny.
Speaking of weenus sing, you're not feeling the Tell Me You Love Me? We were talking about this. Is it, it's fading?
I don't know. I'm still watching it, though. Are you still heaved out by the old people having sex? Because Kelly can't watch it. I think it makes me cry. I think it's so beautiful.
Now I know who she is.
Yeah.
She's
in town this weekend to do a one-night reading at the Goodman. And I really want to go. Jane Alexander.
Miss Alexander.
Yeah.
But
I just remember her from Tootsie.
I like her relationship more than I like anybody else's. And I like the little turmoil that she's having.
Yeah.
So I've only seen two. I haven't watched the third one yet.
Do you think he's gay? The husband that doesn't want his wife that celebrated their anniversary?
I hope so.
What's going on with him? He's so sweet.
He is, but you know, every time I look at him, I think he's he's not Bree's husband because obviously he's dead. I think he's from Desperate Housewives, the real hunky husband.
I don't know. I don't think any of them are hunky.
Transamerica, help me.
Doug Savant?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, her.
Yeah, that's her husband. Yeah. I don't know what his real name is. I mean, I don't know what his show name is. His real name is Doug Savant.
Yeah. That's who I get. Every time I look at him, that's who I see. And I can't not see him. But I think he's super hunky. I think he's the finest man on that television show.
Yeah, I don't know.
Except for Jesse Metcalf, who's pretty much gone.
Yeah, he's pretty much gone. I don't know. I just keep thinking, like, is he gay? Like, why doesn't he want to sleep with his wife? Like, why doesn't he have the chutzpah to buy that his daughter wanted to buy her, the negligee, and buy another gift that he wanted to buy her, you know?
How about that masturbation scene where she almost tries to... That was good.
Yeah.
She's
really good on the show. Awesome. And I love the older couple and they make me cry. The younger couple, I don't care. I'm bored.
Yeah.
He needs
to shave too.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't on it really at all. He wasn't on
the third
episode. Yeah. And I like the middle couple. I can identify with their struggle and trying to get pregnant and their bickering and.
She just needs to whip it out and shake it more because that was hot.
Yeah.
I still have that on my TiVo, folks. So,
yeah.
I mean, TVR.
Hey, can I tell you interesting news?
Hit me.
That you'll love while we're talking the cable series.
Yeah.
So, my girlfriend Kelly is going to be in the show at Steppenwolf, Good Boys and True, which is written by openly gay writer. We've had him on our show before, Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, who wrote Say You Love Satan. And it definitely has gay themes, this play. They're not telling what some of them are, but so that makes it hard for the marketing to our community, but it is a play you want to see. It is going to be a play people are going to be talking about. It involves an Ivy League sex tape school scandal.
Ooh.
And anyhow.
Wrestler's
hot. Kelly had the boys are really cute who they've cast.
Of course they are.
And the girl. But they had a 2-day workshop and she's talking to Roberto, who we've got to get on the show. Roberto, and she was like, so are you going back to New York? And he was like, no, I'm living in LA right now. And she was like, so what are you doing in LA? He's like, I'm writing for Big Love now. That's what she did. We were like, oh my God.
See, there's that gay plot between the two ladies. I know.
See?
He's going to do that. Yes.
Let's have him on the show. He's going to be here this winter.
Oh my God.
And we will craft like season four or three.
I have to know.
And he did say, God, I'm so giving the gossip. I'm so gossiping right now. So he said that the girls were upset that they weren't nominated for Emmys, but that they weren't really eligible and that they will be eligible next.
Why weren't
Emmys.
They eligible?
I don't know. Or maybe they slipped under the...
There were two seasons.
I don't know. This is what I'm thinking. But he did say they were kind of upset that they weren't nominated, but he loves Jennifer Goodwin.
Yeah.
Which is Kelly and my favorite. And thinks Jeannie Triplehorn is totally hot.
Yeah. I just like, it's just such an awesome ensemble.
I feel like it's
amazing.
Our show.
It is.
Our show. We claim
we
it.
We were there from the very beginning, and it's just about this part of the world that none of us get to look inside of those living rooms. I just like those look inside.
Should we send him some stories? Maybe. I have his email. Maybe we should start sending him, like, he's writing right now, you know, for the next season. We think there needs to be some lesbianism.
There already is. They just need to expand on it because the women were totally playing. I went back and watched the scene again.
Well, and now the other girl, the girl's friend who the evil little girl was like, you like her, blah, blah, blah. You know, the child bride.
You're a lesbian. Yeah, the crazy twist.
So they're bringing it up.
Yeah.
But that's why they brought in a gay writer this next year.
But they left the season so blah at the end of it. There was no big cliffhanger.
Yeah. Well,
which
he
I was
wasn't
pissed
there.
Off about. Yeah.
Now he's in the room.
So he'll be in the room.
That's exciting though, right?
It's very
like
exciting.
Like 1 degree of separation from Big Love now.
That's awesome. I love it.
Bringing
it to
you.
I have to go fucking stalk him now.
Yeah. He's a very sweet man.
We should just go out to LA and say, hey, can you take
he's
us on the set?
Total sweetheart. Total sweetheart.
I bet he'll be around for some, maybe, could we be at a reading? Could we?
I'm just saying.
Oh my God.
We're so going to buy him
I should
cocktails
just turn the life. Record button off and go call him right now.
Well, speaking of television cable network series, one of the hottest series for the lesbian community to hit the airwaves.
A lesbian. Danny Thomas is one. A lesbian.
The lesbians.
Not Lebanese, Blanche.
Is the L word, of course. And really, most series are kind of told through a central character. Even when they're ensemble shows, we are introduced to the world through one character. And I think the character of Bette Porter really has been the entree in for the L word, at least in the beginning, before we got to know all of the women of the L word. And as portrayed by Jennifer Beals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people only know Jennifer Beals as like from Flashdance, but she has got such a huge career, an enormous body of work. If you go on the IMDb or you Wikipedia her or whatever, you will see how many amazing, amazing, amazing movies that she has been in and worked with some amazing people. And she's going to be in town with Marley Matlin and Daniela C., her co-stars from The L Word, along with others to raise money for the 3rd annual Gender Pack Celebrity Cook-Off that is happening this weekend. And we're really glad that Jennifer had a few minutes to sit down and talk with us. So we're going to have Jennifer Beals on the show, and we've got news, and we have Jerry Potter with Jerry Potter's Picks. So it's a big, big show. So stay with us.
1963. Picture 4 guys under a street lamp with a sound and a song and a dream that would rock the world. Jersey Boys, the musical phenomenon about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, is coming to Chicago. It's Broadway's greatest success story. 4 blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom.
I love you, baby, and if it's quite all right, I need you, baby.
The American dream never sounded better. Take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music. Jersey Boys arrives here October 6th, and it's already been extended through next April. This new block of seats is on sale now, so get yours today.
Oh, what a night.
Jersey Boys, coming to the LaSalle Bank Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 24th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Kinsey Six, America's favorite dragapella beauty shop quartet, combines rich a cappella harmonies and madcap comedy antics in their new smash hit, Condoleezza Palooza, at College of DuPage's. You didn't think I could do it, did you? College of DuPage's Mackinac Arts Center, The Mac, on Saturday, October 20th at 8 p.m. Check out the girls' website at kinsey6.com or call the theater 630-942-4000. That's KINSEYSICKS.com.
Northlight Theater presents The Miser, a classic comedy with a contemporary twist. A cast of Chicago all-stars headlines this tale of true love between a man and his money. With forbidden romance in the air and the family treasure buried in the backyard, it's a hilarious race to see who will come out on top. For tickets and info to The Miser, visit northlight.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Stephen Dietz Fiction. Husband and wife novelists find the foundation of their marriage shaken after reading the secrets in each other's diaries. Fiction is playing now through November 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and info, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Catchy melodies, divine moves, and gobs of hair product. Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. Altar Boys opens October 7th at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Get your tickets now. Visit alterboyschicago.com. That's boys with a Z.
Goodman Theater presents Passion Play, a cycle in three parts, a hilarious and unsettling trilogy about three small towns and three politically charged epics who stage the historic Passion Play. Experience award-winning playwright Sarah Rule's epic that exposes the thorny relationship between politics and religion. Playing through October 21st. For tickets, call 312-443-3800 or go to goodmantheater.org.
Next Theater Company in Evanston presents the Chicago area premiere of The Busy World is Hushed by Keith Bunin. An Episcopal priest arranges a romance between her assistant and her wayward son. Faith, love, and loss collide in this provocative love triangle. The Busy World is Hushed, playing now through October 14th. Call 847-475-1875 or visit nexttheater.org for tickets.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents No Child, written and performed by Nalaya Sun, a touching and funny exploration of the public school system that demonstrates with humor, compassion, and insight why not one child should be left behind. The New York Times called it marvelous. No Child starts October 3rd. Call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jerry Potter's Picks. Broadway is brought to your doorstep with Jersey Boys. This runs at the Sal Bank Theater October 5th, and it goes through April 13th. This is a Tony Award-winning musical. Also, I want to mention for this next year, we have Avenue Q brought to us by Broadway in Chicago and Dirty Dancing the Musical, so look for those in the future and keep listening to Jerry Potter's Picks on Windy City Queercast.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
A Newark, New Jersey gay rights group is calling on the city's mayor to investigate the August triple murder of three college students as a hate crime. Local gay activist James Creedle and others say that at least one of the victims was gay, according to what they've learned.
The Maryland Court of Appeals recently upheld the state's 34-year-old statute that bans same-sex marriage 4-3. The majority opinion, written by Judge Glenn T. Harrell Jr., said that any change should be done by the state legislature.
At the recent start of a Brooklyn Supreme Court trial involving one of four men accused of killing a gay man last year during a robbery, the defendant's lawyer claimed that his client, who is accused of committing a hate crime, is gay. Anthony Fortunato's lawyer claims that his client planned to come out to his friends on the night of the incident, and that the prosecution's main witness is gay as well.
The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, will support Senator Larry Craig's effort to take back his guilty plea. Craig was arrested in an airport sex sting operation. The organization wants to look into the legality of the arrest.
An Indiana man about to complete his 14-year sentence for a 1983 killing of a gay man, thanks to DNA evidence from cigarette butts, has been linked to a 1981 murder of another gay man.
The Denver's first out judge at the court district level was recently appointed. David Brett Woods is the state's second openly gay judge.
A new tell-all book will not reveal a lesbian fling between Brady Bunch co-stars Maureen McCormick and Eve Plum, who played the on-screen sisters Marsha, Marsha, Marsha and Jan. McCormick's book all about the 70s television show titled Here's the Story will be released in 2008. There had been rumors that it would include a fling between the two.
Aw. Desperate Housewives star Eva Longoria is excited to work with the show's new gay couple. Tuck Watkins and Kevin Rahm will play the show's first gay couple, Bob and Lee, on Wisteria Lane. I am really excited about the gay neighbors. It's about time, she said.
But it's no Bex and Robbie Williams. Logo announced that it will rebroadcast the first 62 episodes of Showtime's The L World. The channel will start airing the episodes in 2008, and that's perfect because I can watch it from the beginning.
You can watch it from the very, very beginning, the crazy lesbian drama that is.
Absolutely.
It ensues. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hey, this is Lori from Green America, and I always listen to Amy and Peter for all my gay news and entertainment.
Jennifer Beals was the icon of the 80s in Flashdance. She taught us to cut up our sweatshirts, take off our bras with flair, and dance till we sweat. But she continued her career with such diverse roles in films as Devil in the Blue Dress, Mrs. Parker and the Vicious Circle, The Anniversary Party, Twilight of the Golds, and one of my favorite films, Roger Dodger, all before her groundbreaking role as Bette Porter on The L Word. Jennifer comes to Chicago for a benefit for Gender Pack next week, and we are just so thrilled to have her on the show. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
So you were born and raised here in Chicago. What are your favorite things about this city?
Oh my gosh. Well, the lakefront. I mean, my I think sweetest memories just are really at the lakefront. You know, so, whether it's biking or running or, you know, going biking with my family or just, and the architecture is so spectacular.
Do you get back often?
No, I don't. I'm really, really, really excited to come home.
Well, we are thrilled to have you here in the city. Now, after superstardom with Flashdance, you chose to go to Yale. This has been a trend we've seen many actors. They have a peak in their career, and then they choose bravely to go back to school. What was it like for you to immerse yourself in school after Hollywood and the L.A. life?
Well, I had never had the L.A. life. I was in school when I found out that I got the part.
Oh, wow.
And so I went and I took a term off to go do the film, and then I just came back to school. So I had already been acclimated, and I already had friends there, so it wasn't that difficult. And in fact, it was really kind of a relief because I knew how to go to school, and Hollywood was so familiar to me.
Yeah. So they already knew you as Jennifer. So even though you'd done the big film, they brought you back down to earth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, with that kind of course load, that'll certainly bring you back down to earth. But I don't feel like I wasn't on the earth in Hollywood. It just felt very bizarre. Like it was just very surreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very surreal.
Well, let's talk about, I mean, I could talk forever about most of the films that I just said, because those are some films I just really, really, really like a lot that I mentioned in
the
opening.
Roger Dodger, when you mentioned that one, that made me really happy. I had such a good time on that film. It was really great working with my friends and being in New York and telling that story. It was just so much fun.
Well, and it's interesting to look at like your film history. I was actually talking to my co-host on the radio and saying, you know, on the podcast saying to Peter, you know, have you not seen that movie? Because it's great. And we were talking about some of these films, and you've really kept yourself around like some of the same actors. And we'll talk about that, how you've kind of had this nexus of a core group of people from Alan Cumming to Tony Goldwyn to Marley Matlin. But first, let's just talk about L Word, because I have to. It's a gay show and it's a gay paper.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about some of those people, because they all seem to factor into your, some of them factor into your L Word life. How was the L Word pitched to you and the character of Bette Porter?
Well, I read the pilot, and they told me to keep in mind, you know, who I would rather play, whether it was Bette or Tina. And I felt like I didn't understand Tina as much as I understood Bette. I really liked all the complexity that was written in already from the pilot with Bette. And it's lucky that I chose that, because Laurel Holloman is so fantastic as Tina, and I could never have done as good a job as she's done with that character. And to me, I mean, it was proposed to me that this is this group of friends, and you know, we're going to deal with their lives and see where it takes us.
What was the most intriguing thing to you about this show? Because it was obviously groundbreaking at the time.
Well, I never thought about it as being groundbreaking. I just thought, wow, this is a fantastic character to play, and she's complicated and interesting, and, you know, it was just a wonderful gift more than anything else.
And I imagine that's also such a unique experience to work with a mostly female cast and so many women in production.
We all tend to cycle at the same time.
You all seem to cycle at the same time. Well, what else is so? I mean, I imagine there are many very unique things about that. When you've done as many films as you've done, I mean, just tens and tens and tens and tens of films. It's got to be in a very unique and I don't know. I'm judging it if I say wonderful environment, but I would like being around that many women all the time.
Environment. It is. It's a fantastic cast. Everybody is incredibly supportive of one another. And, you know, just the other night we had a scene, an 8-page scene around a fire with 11 characters. And we thought, how are we going to get through this? And I just had everybody come into my trailer the day before we had to do the scene. And we all ran through the scene until we all knew it. And so that there would be no wrinkles when we finally went to camera. And it was great. And everybody was really helpful to one another and respectful of one another.
You've been friends with Marlee Matlin for years, and I know that she has been obviously your recent love interest on The L Word. Did you suggest that she come on the show, or how did that happen?
No, I didn't. I was told that she was going to have a meeting, and I was really excited about it, and it's just been wonderful. I mean, she's so funny. The only downside is that she makes me laugh. She's the only person that has ever made me break in a scene, just made me die laughing. Like she just makes me laugh so easily. She doesn't even have to, you know, sign anything, or she just look at me and it just kills me. So,
what is in store for Bette this season? Are there any tips that you can tell us?
God, Lord have mercy.
It's drama, I can tell from the Lord have mercy.
Super drama, constantly. Super drama. And Bette and Jody have all kinds of things they're going through.
Ah, so now The L Word has definitely opened up your activism. Obviously, before The L Word, you were not being asked to be the Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade in San Francisco.
Which was an amazing experience, by the way.
Yeah?
It was really so much fun. I just wanted them to turn that car around and do it all over again. People were so supportive and sweet, and it was just such a rush. It was such an incredible rush.
Well, I'm sure they would have turned it around and done it all over again. They're probably still partying if you'd come back through. They wouldn't have wondered if they didn't see you the first time. Deja vu. But you're in town with your co-stars from The L Word, Marlee Matlin, as we mentioned, Daniela C., for the Gender Pack 3rd Annual Celebrity Cook-Off at the Chopping Block on October 6th, Saturday at the Merchandise Mart. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing at the event, and are you really going to be cooking?
I'm going to be humiliating myself.
No!
I am going to be humiliating myself because I so don't cook.
No?
Like, I'm not just exaggerating for the sake of storytelling. I really, 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 really don't cook.
But you eat.
Under duress, I can cook Thanksgiving dinner, you know, with a lot of thought. But, like, eating sort of a gourmet meal is not at the top of my list. Like, to me, food is energy, and I just move on and get through the day. But now I'm being asked to do something beyond, like, opening the can of tuna. So this will be really fascinating.
Well, what are you? Do you know what you're going to make?
Hell no. Am I supposed to? You're scaring me.
I don't know. I'm just assuming if it's a cook-off that we're going to be like watching you make chili and Marlee make.
I ask is to be the sous chef. That's all. I just ask to be the sous chef.
Well, make sure you get to be Art
Smith. I'm supposed to really be cooking.
Yeah, make sure you get to be Art Smith's sous chef, who's the personal chef to Oprah, who will also be there. I'm sure he will give you some tips.
I'm hoping to learn something. That's my goal.
Well, do you have a favorite food?
Not Marlee make fun of me too much.
Do you have a favorite food that you would want somebody to make for you at the event?
No, I don't really have a favorite food. Not really.
It's all just energy.
I like cereal. Like, I can live off of cereal for most of my life. So I'm not that difficult in that way.
See, you're perfect for me to make a meal for. I could get you any kind of cereal. I could make that up with all different kinds of milk and any kind of cereal. You're my kind of gal. Well, I hope that people will come out and support Gender Pack's third annual celebrity cook-off. It's Saturday, October 6th, the Chopping Block in the Merchandise Mart downtown. If you'd like more information, visit GPAC, that's GPAC.org/L-word. And you can get all the information, get your tickets, because Jennifer Beals, Marley Matlin, Daniela C., along with Art Smith, the personal chef to Oprah, and of course the Chopping Block owner and instructor Shelley Young, who's very, very cool and very hot in her own right. She's going to be a hot bevy of people heating up some good food, and all for a good cause. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you, and I can guarantee you that Marley Matlin is going to be incredibly entertaining.
Ah, good.
Guarantee it right now. I was 13, you were
14. And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Everybody smiles at us, 'cause they think that you're my man. So I hold your hand like you're my man.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.